I am kind of teaching on provision because one of the things I'm teaching on today is the name of Jehovah, the Lord, our provider.
Amen.
So what I'm teaching on, and I'll just get right to it here, is the seven redemptive names of Jehovah. That's an old teaching, but it's kind of new to me. I stumbled across it a few days ago. I was actually getting the message together on hearing and being healed. It says that Jesus, multitudes came out to hear and to be healed of their diseases. The first thing they came to do was to hear. See, healing wasn't just without something preached before. The Bible said Jesus preached the kingdom of heaven. So he was preaching something. Did I bring all my stuff up here? I got batteries, phone, water, microphone. Okay, we got it all, I think. All right, praise God. What's that? Oh, my. No, I'll leave the day timer there. Anyway, let me just read a scripture in Exodus 15:26, kind of get started from a scriptural foundation. A familiar scripture we all have heard many times, but I'll read it anyway from Exodus 15:26. And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, in other words, hear, and will do that which is right in his sight, obey what he says to do, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
Amen.
I am the Lord that healeth thee. I'm starting with this scripture because it reveals to us one of what's referred to as the seven redemptive names of Jehovah. And I'm going to explain kind of what that means. He says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord your physician. And so we're going to look at this subject. I was reading in the book Christ the Healer, F.F. Bosworth. Are you familiar with that book? Some of you have read that, I'm sure. And he was arguing a point. The point he was arguing in this chapter of the book was that healing is in the atonement. Are you familiar with the word atonement?
Yes.
Okay, atonement means Calvary, the work of Calvary. Now, some have said, well, atonement doesn't really say it because Jesus did not atone for our sins. He obliterated our sins. He didn't cover them, but yet the term is used to refer to the work of Calvary. And so I was looking at the subject. Bosworth, in one chapter, says Christ that is attempting to make the argument that healing is in the atonement, or that is to say, in the finished work of Calvary. I believe he's correct in that. I believe that's true, but some argue otherwise. But in any case, in his argument, he makes a reference to the Scofield Bible. Familiar with the Scofield Bible? Came out 1917, exactly 100 years ago. And he was making this point. He says that Cyrus Scofield, who edited the Scofield Bible, published in 1917, states in a footnote that the name Jehovah is distinctly the redemption name of deity. The redemption name of deity, which means the word means Jehovah, the word Jehovah means the self-existent one who reveals himself. And I think today he was revealing himself. When you see Jesus come down from heaven and sit on the platform, I think he's revealing himself. Praise God. And a lot of things have happened this morning. I could go on with that, but we won't. We'll just go with the message. The self-existent one who reveals himself. That was Scofield's definition of the word Jehovah. In other words, God, the self-existent one who reveals himself, is revealing himself to us through the redemption that we have in Christ. Jehovah, the self-existent one who has been here from everlasting to everlasting, has chosen to reveal himself to us through the redemption that we have in Christ. And you'll see what I mean by that in just a minute. So that has a ring of truth to me. And so I wanted to look into those seven redemptive names of Jehovah. Scofield goes on to say that the seven redemptive names of God point to a continuous and increasing self-revelation. In other words, the more we receive of his revelation of who he is, the more we understand about him. That's kind of one way to put it. He goes on to say, in his redemptive relation to man, Jehovah has seven compound names which reveal him as meeting every need of man from his lost state to the end. And again, I'm quoting Scofield's words from Bosworth's book, and I know that can be a little boring sometimes reading kind of a book, but I'm just quoting what the guy said. And then Bosworth goes on to make the statement, since it is his redemptive relation to us that these names reveal, they must each point to Calvary, where we were redeemed. The blessing that each name reveals must be provided by the atonement. And that was his argument. He was saying, well, if it's redemptive, it comes from Calvary. And so healing comes from Calvary. And that was the argument he was making. But I got captivated by these seven names. You know, I believe his argument is true, that healing comes from Calvary. Putting that aside, though, what are these seven redemptive names and what do they mean to us as believers? Because I've heard teachings on the names of the Lord, and they're all good. Over many years, you hear different teachings on that. But this one just caught my attention, and I think we'll see something really good about those. Now, it's fairly easy to see that Christ revealed himself, revealed the Father to us. You know, in John 14:9, that's another scripture we're familiar with. It says, Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that has seen me hath seen the Father. And how do you say then, show us the Father? Haven't you seen me? Christ is the revelation of the Father. That revealing of the Father was accomplished at Calvary, where our redemption was purchased. Hence, the redemptive names. So, the redemptive names reveal to us who the Lord is, what we have in Him as privileges and benefits, and the redemption we have in Christ. The privileges and benefits we have in the redemption we have in Christ. They answer the question, what has Christ given to us in the redemption we have in Him? What is our inheritance? So these names have special significance to us as believers. They tell us what we should have in our lives, some things that should be going on in our lives, what we should expect to be going on as the result of our salvation, our relationship with Christ. And if for some reason we don't have evidence of those things in our lives, the things that He has revealed Himself to be to us, then we need to begin to believe for those things because they're all obtained by faith. Every one of them is apprehended by faith. We need to begin to expect those things because they do belong to us and they are our inheritance. But you know, somebody can leave you an inheritance, and if you never find out about it, guess what? It'll never do you any good. You may have $1 million somebody left for you somewhere, but you just never got the news about it. So you never laid claim to it. So let's take a quick look at these redemptive names. This is a short message. I want to get through this and then share a short testimony about something that's been going on in my own life. By the way, Danny, I want to apologize for not being there Friday night. My Aunt Edith fell down Wednesday and broke her hip, and we've been at the hospital in Danville back and forth. And I was planning on coming to the songwriters meeting. Okay. I didn't forget it. I want you. Okay. I'll plan on coming to that one. Yeah. Edith is doing well. Father, we ask you to bless Aunt Edith today, Lord, in that hospital. Thank you, Lord, for that successful surgery. Thank you, Lord, she's recovering speedily in the name of Jesus. We thank you for speedy recovery in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, okay, we're going to start with the redemptive names of Jehovah. Let's start with an easy one that I'm sure you can see pretty easily. The Lord is our righteousness. Jehovah Tsidkenu, Tsidkenu, Mouse. No, that's a different thing. Tsidkenu, Jehovah Tsidkenu. And it really comes from a scripture in Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 5, which says this, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and he shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. Who's he talking about? Jesus. Come on. That's right, our Redeemer. Jeremiah 23:6, the next verse. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Tsidkenu, this righteous branch that shall be raised up, shall be called. His name shall be called Jehovah Tsidkenu, or the Lord our righteousness. Is Jesus our righteousness?
Yes.
All right. See, that's an easy one, isn't it? We can see that pretty easily. I don't think anybody can deny that or argue it. 2 Corinthians 5:21, here's a familiar scripture. For God hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made what? The righteousness of God in him. In who? In Christ. In the Lord our righteousness. See, that's one of the privileges and benefits we receive from Christ through his redemption, is righteousness. Romans 5:17, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one man, Jesus Christ. Have we received abundance of grace? Anybody received any grace? Have we received the gift of righteousness? So is he the Lord our righteousness? Absolutely. Romans 3:21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested or revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. And we know that Jeremiah prophesied about it. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith in Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All can believe for that righteousness because all have sinned. There was nobody who was righteous before this free gift of righteousness. All had sinned. And so all can believe for that. Being justified or made righteous freely by his grace through what? The redemption that's in Christ Jesus. He is Jehovah Tsidkenu through the redemption we have. So how are we justified? Through the redemption in Christ. So can you see why these are called redemptive names? They come to us through the redemption of Calvary. So it is his redemptive name, the Lord our righteousness. So in Christ, the Lord is our righteousness. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, I'm going to get you guys excited in a minute. If not, I'll sit down, all right? Praise God. This is really good stuff. It'll get in you. Okay, processing. Jehovah Ra'ah, or Ra'ah, the Lord is my shepherd. That comes, of course, from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, or I shall not lack. Jehovah Ra'ah, R-A-A-H is the way I spell it. The Lord is my shepherd. This is a great one right here. You can go all day on this one. I mean, really, it's just so much in it. You could read Psalm 23 and see all the redemptive names of the Lord in this one psalm. But anyway, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. So Jesus is to us the good shepherd. He is the Lord our shepherd. He said the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. So it's through Calvary, through the atonement, where he gave his life, where the good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep, where we were redeemed, that we have a shepherd to lead us, to guide us, to give us pasture, and to protect us. He said that my sheep hear my voice. And they follow him. Does anybody hear the voice of the Lord?
Amen.
And there are probably some who don't. You're supposed to be hearing the voice of the Lord if you don't. We're all, it's a redemptive benefit. It's a redemptive privilege that we have to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd.
Amen.
See, it's more than just a name. You can say he is the Lord, the Shepherd, but he may not be your shepherd. You may not have tapped into that thing where he is shepherding you. Now, in 1 Peter 2:25, it says, for we were as sheep going astray, but now have returned unto the shepherd and bishop, or guardian of our souls. He's our guardian and protector. So in the redemption we have in Christ, we're supposed to have protection from God. That's part of what we have in our lives. We have protection. Okay. We need a shepherd in the world to lead us beside still waters, to make us lie down in green pastures, to restore our souls and to prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies, and to lead us through the valley of the shadow of death unharmed. Anybody ever had to go through some things you didn't want to go through? Did you go through?
Yes.
Did you come out on the other side?
Yes.
Was he with you in the midst of it?
Yes.
Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That staff that comforts me is the same staff that'll beat a wolf to death. He's our protector. That's what we have as a good shepherd. We have a protector. I shall lack nothing. See, it means provision also. See, you could talk about this one all day. I'm trying to just make this one quick. And he's a personal shepherd. It says that the shepherd will leave the 99 to go find the one. He's interested in us individually. It's not that he's just the shepherd, the great shepherd of the flock. No, he's the shepherd of each and every one of the flock. Amen. He's a personal shepherd. The Bible says that those who are unsaved are alienated from the life of God or without God in the world. We are not without God. We have a shepherd leading, guiding, feeding, and protecting. This is a redemptive privilege that belongs to us. Does it belong to the unsaved? Does it belong to the world? It was revealed to Israel as the Lord is my shepherd. But the reality of it, the fulfillment of it, didn't come until Christ brought redemption. So now we have the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And he's my shepherd no less than he is my righteousness. See, there's not just one name that really means something to us. And the rest of them, well, maybe, maybe not. You know, maybe he's my shepherd, maybe he isn't. I know he's my righteousness. He's just as much our shepherd as he is our righteousness. The third one, Jehovah Shalom. What does that mean? The Lord is my peace. The Lord my peace. And it comes from a scripture in Judges, kind of an isolated scripture. In Judges 6, verses 23 and 24, this is in the time of Gideon. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. Okay, let's go to the redemption we have in Christ. Jesus said in John 14:27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You see, he says, I'm giving you peace. He is the Prince of Peace. We have peace with God through him. Isaiah tells us, and I'm just touching these scriptures. There are hundreds of them. You could look all day and prove this, that he's our peace. But Isaiah tells us that the chastisement for our peace was upon him, or our shalom. The Bible tells us that he made peace through the blood of his cross and so forth. So we have peace through Calvary, where he purchased our redemption. You might say it's in the atonement. Amen. So the bottom line is we should all have peace, the peace of God, and always walk in perfect peace. Because he has revealed himself to us as the Lord our peace. It is the Lord in us. It is who the Lord is to us in Christ. Now the word shalom, if you look it up in the concordance, it means more than just peace. It means welfare, safety, prosperity, without which it would be impossible to have peace. So he is our prosperity, our peace. So it includes a lot of things that are ours in Christ, such as provision and blessing. Are we short on provision and blessing? Then we're not tapping into the Lord our peace. Paul said to make our requests known unto God with thanksgiving, and then what would keep our hearts and minds? You don't know your scriptures. The peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. Paul said also to let peace rule over our lives. Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful. So peace guides us in our decision making. Jenny uses that a lot. I mean, we're supposed to be led by peace. We're supposed to let the peace of God rule us and lead us. Do I have peace about this? Well, I don't know. Jenny was going to go up to Rocky Mount on Thursday and drive up and see her sister. She couldn't sleep on Wednesday night. Got up and said, Lord, should I be going up to Rocky Mount tomorrow? The Lord said, no. So she laid down and went to sleep like you snapped your finger. Because something was not settled in her spirit. What's that? Didn't have peace about it. See, if we would take time to have peace about what we're doing, we would not make a whole lot of wrong decisions. The Lord is our peace. He has given us His peace. We have that in us. It's part of our redemption. So if we're not using it, we ought to start using it. Yeah. So if we're short on peace, we need to start calling out for it and expect it to come. If our life is in turmoil all the time, we're not taking advantage of the Lord, our peace, and receiving what He has for us. The Lord is my peace just as much as He is the Lord my righteousness, and just as much as He is the Lord my shepherd. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is present, or the Lord is there. It comes from Ezekiel 48:35. It was round about 18,000 measures, and the name of the city from that day shall be the Lord is there, or Jehovah Shammah. This is another redemptive name of Jehovah that means the Lord is there or the Lord is present. So how does that impact us as believers? You might ask, Brother Ron, how does that impact us as believers? Anyway, we have the presence of the Lord in our lives. Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." You remember the story about the guy walking on the beach, the two sets of footprints? This is the Lord and you, you know. But during the really hard times of his life, he only saw one set of footprints. And he said, "Lord, why did you desert me during those times?" And the Lord said, "No, I carried you during those times. That's why there was only one set." And I've been through some things like that where I'm telling you what, the worst time of my life, the Lord's presence was so strong, I could feel Him around me all the time. I mean, it's like, now, you know, "Lord, I can't sense your presence. Where are you? Where are you?" During that time, He was there. I mean, just no question about it. But we have the presence of the Lord. And so I was going to talk about the Spirit of God being sent, but that may be in the next one. So we'll hold on that. He said, "Lo, I'm with you always by the blood of Christ." The Bible tells us that we are made nigh by the blood of Christ. So we have the presence of God in our lives. We have the presence of God. We come together and worship, and what happens? His presence comes. This is something that we are privileged and blessed with, not everybody who walks in the earth, not everybody who's religious has the presence of God. It's a redemptive privilege. We should begin to believe for it and expect it more and more because it belongs to us in Christ. Somebody said one time, loneliness is just not knowing who's really with you. Yeah. Loneliness is just not knowing who's really with you. So we ought to know He's with us. He is the Lord who is present with us always. The same as He is the Lord my righteousness. The same as He's the Lord my shepherd. The same as He's the Lord my peace. And all these things are in His redemption. This is what we've received. I'm talking about our inheritance. Can you see that now? Things we've received as our inheritance. When are we going to get our inheritance, Lord? Well, when are you going to enjoy what I've already given you? Praise God. I've already given you your inheritance. Enjoy it. Take it, praise God. Amen. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who sees and provides. Now we're talking about provision. He sees and provides, or the Lord whose provision shall be seen, is another rendering. The first mention of Jehovah Jireh in the Bible is with Abraham in Genesis 22:14. You remember the story that Abraham went up on Mount Moriah to offer up his only son, Isaac, whom he loved, as the Lord had commanded him. And it doesn't take long to figure out that's a picture of Calvary, where our redemption was purchased. So it's connected to our redemption. And the fulfillment came when God's Son was offered up at Mount Calvary. But God stopped Abraham. You remember, says, "Stop, Abraham, don't kill your son." The angel came. And then what happened? Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw a ram caught in a thicket. And then he offered up the ram. God made provision for an offering. He was there ready to offer his son. Now God said, "Stop. Take that ram over there in the bushes." Just happened to be one caught in the thicket. And he offered up the ram, and so God had provided a sacrifice. In Genesis 22:14, and Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And in the redemption that is in Christ, God is still the Lord who sees and provides. If we're short on provision, we have to recognize that we have the Lord, our provider. He will provide. In other words, we can call upon the Lord, our provider, who has said, I am your provision. If you said, I'm your provision, then he'll provide. But see, there's that thing of faith. Ted said it a minute ago. Sometimes we have to take it. We have to take what belongs to us. It may not be automatic. I'm going to say this later in the message, but you've seen the billboards out there on the road that say, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. And then down at the bottom it says, make him yours today. Well, yes, he is the Savior of the world, but he may not be your Savior. Until you take who he is into your life. He is the Savior of the world, but he cannot be your Savior unless you take that. Receive it. Okay, where was I anyway? Praise God. Philippians 4:19, the Apostle Paul, but my God shall supply all your need according to what? His riches, where? In glory, by Christ Jesus. See, it's by Christ Jesus. You have to be redeemed to take advantage of this provision. It's in Christ Jesus. And Jesus himself said in the Sermon on the Mount, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added or provided unto you. What things? All the things the Gentiles are running after for survival, their provision. The Lord is our provider in Christ. Provision belongs to us. Anybody ever been short on provision? Okay, I'm the only one. Praise God. That's good. But you don't want to admit it. I know you don't want to claim that. But praise God. Yeah, we've all been. It's always been enough. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. You know, what is wealth? Wealth is having enough. Wealth is actually having a little more than enough. You know, if you've got a little more than enough, you're wealthy. You don't have to be a mega millionaire to be wealthy. Because I was going to that Psalm 23:5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runs over. That's called having more than enough. So in him we should have more than enough, our cup running over. And if we're not seeing that in our lives, then we need to believe for it. Begin to expect it. It's a redemptive privilege. It belongs to us. It's mine. It's yours. Amen. Take it, praise God. He is the Lord who sees and provides, just as he is the Lord my righteousness, just as much as he is the Lord my shepherd, just as much as he is the Lord my peace, just as much as he is the one who is present. He is the Lord who provides. Do you believe you've received his righteousness?
Yes.
Then believe you receive his provision.
Yes.
They're all redemptive privileges.
Amen.
Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my canopy, or the Lord my banner. Well, what does all that mean? A canopy is a covering of protection. Okay, it means that for one thing. We have the Lord's protection, a covering. We talk about having a hedge of protection. This is something provided for us in Calvary. The word Jehovah Nissi comes from a scripture in Exodus 15. Moses and Joshua had been fighting Amalek, and they were up on the hill, remember, and Moses was lifting his staff, and Aaron and Hur and all those guys were holding his arms up, and then they defeated Amalek. And it said in verse 15 of Exodus 17, and Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. We have an idea of this in Psalm 23:6. I told you Psalm 23 has got all these in it. Psalm 23:6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In other words, in his protection, in the safety of his house. Hallelujah. Romans 8:31, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? The Lord is our protection. Enemies cannot stand against us. Well, how come they have before? Well, maybe we need to stand if an enemy comes against you. I could tell you a story that make your hair stand up about an enemy coming against me. And I prayed and based my prayer on Psalm 35, I believe it was. Let this person who's dug this pit for me fall in it themselves. You know, I don't want anybody to get hurt, but if they're coming against me, I've got to defend myself. You know, Lord, bless him. But if they're coming against me, let them fall in the pit they dug for me. And guess what happened? They fell in the pit they dug for me, praise God. Because no weapon formed against me shall prosper, and every tongue that rises in judgment shall be condemned. This is our heritage as the servants of the Lord. That's a different scripture. Or no, it's the same scripture. This is our heritage as a servant of the Lord, and our righteousness is of God. Our righteousness is of Him. I tell you what, that's a redemptive scripture right there, although it's in the Old Testament. Anyway, nay, in all these things, Romans 8:37, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Through whom? Through the One who redeemed us. In the atonement, in our redemption. That scripture says, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors. We're supposed to be more than conquerors. In everything, we're not supposed to be defeated. Although the enemy comes against you and tries to defeat you, we're not supposed to accept that. 2 Corinthians 2:14, I'm talking about our redemption here and who He is to us, praise God. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and makes manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. See, we're supposed to be victorious in everything. If we're going around defeated, it's the enemy at work. I can tell you that right now, and I'm going to share this testimony before we run out of time, and we're about there now. So, Christ has defeated principalities. When did He defeat principalities? When He went to Calvary. At the work of Calvary, in the atonement. When He was beaten and when He was crucified. John 16:33, Jesus is speaking, and He said, these things I've spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Yeah. Amen. Well, how can that cheer me up, that He overcame the world? Amen. Because if He overcame the world, He overcame it for me. Amen. So that I can have that same victory in every situation in my life. See, it's given to me in Christ, in the inheritance I have in His redemption. We live in His victory. It was given to us through Calvary. If you're not having victory, believe for it and expect it. Lord, I expect to have victory. You are Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner. I expect protection, and I expect to have the victory. Now, of course, I need to be walking with God. You know, you can't be out living like the devil and expect to have it, but that's another story. So he bought it for us. It's a redemptive privilege. It belongs to us. He is the Lord my banner, just like He's the Lord my righteousness, the Lord my shepherd, the Lord my peace, the Lord who is present, and the Lord my provider. He's as much those things as He is the Lord my righteousness, the one we easily take hold of. Amen. This is the last redemptive name. And then I'm going to just share this little short testimony. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals you. We looked at that earlier. The Lord, your physician, is what that actually means. We read it earlier in Exodus 15:26. And He said, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God and will do that which is right in His sight, will give ear to His commandments and keep all His statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord, your physician. Now see, He wasn't the Lord, their physician, to the Egyptians. The Egyptians, they received His judgment. He said, I'm not going to do that because I'm the Lord who heals you. I'm not the same Lord that they saw. I am the Lord, your physician. Healing for our bodies is not a promise of God. It is a redemptive privilege and a benefit purchased for us at Calvary and included in our redemption. It belongs to us. It's ours. It's mine. If something's not working in my life, I say, hey, I've got healing. What's it not working? Why is it not working? What's wrong here? If we're struggling with that, oh, it's so important what you believe. I'm going on a sidetrack here. So many churches, I've been to churches where they had this thing, if it be thy will. I prayed this guy over this guy for an eye surgery he was going to have. God, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you help the doctors. You cause this eye surgery to go correctly and you cause him to heal speedily. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. He looked up and said, if it be thy will. I said, why did I just waste that prayer? If it wasn't his will, I wouldn't have prayed it. But then that whole church, they showed us our sick list. There was like 150 people on the sick list and 10 people in the church. See, the thing is, if you believe a certain way, you'll draw what that thing believes. If you believe God might heal you, if it's his will, if you catch him on a good day and he's not in a bad mood when you ask him, then you're missing it. You're missing the fact that it's our privilege and our benefit in Calvary to receive healing. Amen. It's ours. It belongs to us. Psalm 103:1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits, his redemptive privileges. Who forgives all thine iniquity. Okay. Who healeth all thy diseases. See, we often read that as who forgiveth all thine iniquities all the time, who healeth all thy diseases, used to, or occasionally. That's the way we read that. If he forgives all our sins all the time, then he heals all our diseases all the time.
Yeah.
Praise God. So, what does all mean? All means all. God is our healer all the time. Have we had healing failures? Of course. But that's not going to make the word of God untrue because I had a healing failure. Praise God. Healing belongs to us in Christ. He has given it, and it's up to us to take it. It's not a matter, like I say, of catching God on a good day in a good mood. When Christ redeemed us through the work of Calvary, the Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions, or he suffered for our sins. But it also says in the very same sentence that by his stripes we were healed.
Amen.
Why would one of them be true and the other not be true? It's in the same sentence. Matthew, in quoting that verse from Isaiah 53, says that Christ himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. When did he take our infirmities and bear our sicknesses? Well, it says by his stripes, so it was when he was scourged, and then when he was crucified, so he took them away to Calvary. So, healing for our bodies is as much a redemptive privilege and benefit as the forgiveness of sins. We should always approach it that way.
Amen.
Healing is ours in Christ. It belongs to us. We don't have to beg God for it. He's already given it. Please heal me, Lord. I already have. Take it. Praise God. We've got to change the way we look at that stuff. But like everything in God, it is inherited by faith and patience. That's how we take our inheritance. We believe it's ours. We lay claim to what belongs to us. We may have to set our focus on the Word of God, find out what God says about it, hear what God says about it, and then believe it and act on it. What I'm trying to point out is that the Lord has revealed himself to be the Lord, our physician, the Lord who heals us. That's who he is. He is as much our physician and healer as he is our righteousness, as he is our shepherd, as he is our peace, as he is present with us, as he is our provider, as he is our banner. He is as much our healer as he is all those other things.
Amen.
And so, if we need healing in our lives, we should not settle for less. It's our redemptive privilege and benefit to live in good health all the days of our life. He says, with long life shall I satisfy him, show him my salvation. I will take sickness away from the midst of them, and the number of thy days thou shalt fulfill. Praise God. That's a promise of God that we're not going to die young and early. The number of our days we're going to fulfill. And I think I do have time. I was going to limit this. I do have time to share this short 5-minute testimony and close. See, I mentioned all these things that Jehovah is to us through Christ. Jesus revealed the Father to us. He is all these things to us. It's not just who He is, it's who He is to us. Jesus is the Savior of the world, but you got to receive Him in your heart. Now, God is the Lord, our physician, but He's not that to you until you make Him the healer. See, He can be the healer, the Lord who heals you, but yet we can fail to make Him our healer. See, that's done by faith. Knowing it up here in the head is not the same thing as believing it down here in the heart. Everybody knows these things, but yet we trip over them sometimes. So that's what we often need to work on, is what's going on down here. Yeah, I believe that. I understand that. I've heard that. I've read it. I've heard it all my life. But what's down here? What's going on down here?
Well, I just don't know. I'm not sure.
See the difference?
I'm just not sure. I don't know. I've been trying. I don't know why I'm sick. But I know I'm healed. Thank God I'm healed.
No. You're healed up here, but down here you're sick. It's what you believe. So that's often what we need to work on. You can believe it in your heart and have doubt in your head and still get good results. You can believe something in your heart and have doubt in your head and still get good results. Still overcome, still have victory. Now, I know that sounds, how can you do that? How can you have faith in your heart and doubt in your head and still have good results? I'm going to explain that to you. And I'll give you an example. And I taught on this back in April. I'm going to have to give you the whole story. I taught on this back in April, and something the Lord showed me, and I taught it, and I looked out there, everybody's crying, what? What? Like the old saying, like a cow at a new gate. What? What are you talking about? Even Brother Frank, I remember we went over to the Shiloh Church of Christ, and he was here that morning, and went to the church over there and listened. And I preached the same message that evening. He said, he came up and said, you know, I didn't understand what the heck you was talking about this morning, but I think I'm getting it now. You know? Well, that's the way spiritual truth is sometimes. It's like, at first, you're like, what? Then you think about it. And, well, I think I see what you're saying. I'm starting to get a glimpse of what you're saying. And then one night, 6 months later, at 3 o'clock in the morning, you wake up and say, I see! I get it! That's the way it happens sometimes. I remember hearing messages years ago. I couldn't understand them. Then I woke up one night. Oh, I get it. But anyway, a quick testimony. Where in the world am I? Well, last November, it's been almost a year ago. Last November, I began to develop some problems with my right wrist and my fingers and my knee and my ankle. I was having pain. And, you know, if you try to, you know, open up one of these little artificial sweeteners, even that was painful, just to tear the... That's what? That's the reason I had to quit the artificial sweeteners and everything got fine. No, that didn't happen. That's not the end of the story, Big. But it was a good... It's a good idea, you know. I can go with that. So anyway, where was I anyhow? Oh, yeah. Okay. So anyway, it was painful. I couldn't shake hands with people. I mean, it was just... And I'd wake up in the morning and these two fingers would be stiff, you know, and I'd have to work with them for a while and... You know, and this went on for a month or two. People came through and prayed by word of knowledge. Is somebody's wrist hurting? Yeah. Somebody's knee hurting? Yeah. And so I got prayed for a bunch of times for that. And so anyway, but then things still kind of stayed the same. And now I've never had problems with healing. I learned many years ago, if I spoke to the symptoms authoritatively, that after a while, those symptoms would go away. I discovered that many years ago, so I haven't had much problem with physical situations. I could usually just speak to them, you know, and get serious with them, and they'd go away. Well, these wouldn't. They persisted. And so, you know, as a last resort, I went to the doctor, which we always do as a last resort. But anyway, that was around maybe December, toward the end of December. And, of course, the doctor said, well, I'll do some x-rays. He went, yeah, it doesn't look like there's anything wrong. I'll give you some pain medication. So he gives you some opioids, you know. This is the extent of the medical profession a lot of times. And there are a lot of great doctors out there who do a lot of wonderful things. But a lot of times when it comes to pain, well, here, take this. You won't be feeling no pain, buddy. Tell you right now. Dr. Faudry used to give a prescription up in Bassett years ago. I had the flu one time. He gave me a prescription, and I was sick in the bed, but I wasn't feeling no pain. In fact, I remember laying there and hearing a choir singing. So where's that music coming from? I mean, that was some good stuff. I said, whoa, wow, man, this is good. Give me another one. Okay. Anyway, so that's the doctor's solution. Here, take these opioids and get addicted, you know, and feel weird all the time. In fact, I took one or two of them. Now, it made me just feel, you know, like I just was in kind of a daze. Couldn't think straight. I said, this is not good. But anyway, I kept on with that for a while. About April or so, I said, you know something, I think I'll fast for a few days. Just kind of seek the Lord about this and get in the Word and find out something and just really see if I can get it. And so I did fast for a few days in April, and I got into the Word, and I was led over to the one in Mark 11, 22 through 24. The particular scripture was, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And I looked at that, and I thought about it. What does that mean? I listened to some teachings on it. What does he mean by believe you receive and you shall have it? And so I began to work with that, and trying to make a long story short, what the Lord showed me was that you can believe in your heart that you receive what the Bible promises you. But then you're going to have to deal with your head. When you've got something that doesn't immediately go away. See, what was happening to me, I was kind of like on a yo-yo situation. I'd pray, I'd thank God, I'd read the Word, I'd look toward Calvary, remember the serpent on the pole? Whoever looked toward it would not die. In other words, they looked toward the picture of Calvary, so I began to look toward Calvary. Thank you, Lord. You purchase my healing. You purchase my righteousness. And I believe I receive it in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God, I'm healed. And I feel good in my heart. Down here. Yeah, praise God, I'm victorious. Hallelujah. I'm a winner. You know. But then the next day I'd wake up and still have the symptoms. And what would happen? My head would say, you thought you were healed, but you're not. And what would happen was that in my heart I would begin to be defeated. In my heart I would begin to doubt that what I had received was real or that God really had healed me. And so what happens is now your heart is full of doubt, depression, despair, hopelessness.
I don't know what I'm going to do now. I can't even get healed. God won't even heal me. It must not be His will.
Uh-oh. Now we've sidetracked off into some error. I can't get, this thing won't go away. It must not be God's will. Where'd that come from? That's what goes through our heart and our minds when we're going through that situation. So I guess I thought I was healed. I guess I'm not. And then I go through depression 3 or 4 days. And I say, wait a minute. I'm just going to believe I receive. Praise God. I'm going to look at these scriptures. Yes, Himself took my infirmities, bare my sickness. By His stripes I was healed. Thank God. He was wounded for my transgressions, et cetera, et cetera. By His stripes I'm healed. Thank God I'm healed. I receive it. In Jesus' name. All right. Praise God. I feel good now. Hallelujah. I'm healed. Praise God. Amen. Feel a bit better. Praise God. Wake up the next morning, symptoms still there. See, we got to learn some of these things, folks. Ain't none of us getting any younger. We're going to have to learn to deal with these things. Hold that thought, Yvonne, would you? I'm on a roll right now. Roll on, praise God. So anyway, finally it dawned on me that I was allowing what was in my head to change what was in my heart. See, once you believe you receive, you can't take in that peace. Thank God. I'm not fighting it anymore. I'm healed. I am healed in the name of Jesus. I am healed. And so at that point, the next day I'd wake up and see the symptoms were still there and nothing happened down here. In other words, I kept that peace. I just ignored that. Okay, all right, you know, I'm healed. Thank God I'm healed. Lord, it's so good to be healed. And I kept that thing of peace in my heart. I didn't let it get all upset. Remember, there's a scripture where Jesus was talking and he said, you know, because I've spoken these things, sorrow has filled your heart. See, they responded to the words he was saying. He was saying, well, I'm going away, and where I go, you don't know. You don't know the way, but you're going to come, whatever. And it says, because I've spoken these things, sorrow has filled your heart. And I recognize that you can, your thoughts are basically words. You're having self-talk, or somebody, the devil's talking to you, somebody's talking to you. You can let your heart respond to that. I guess I'm not healed. Oh, I feel so bad now. God, why not, Lord? Don't you love me? And so I made the decision that this is the last time I'm going to believe I receive, and I'm going to keep on believing it. Yeah. I'm not going to go on this roller coaster thing of, yeah, I'm healed. Oh, gosh, I'm not healed. Oh, I'm healed. Praise God. Oh, man, I'm depressed. So I recognize that in my heart I've got to keep that peace and that belief that I'm healed. And ignore what my head is saying. Ignore what the symptoms are saying. See, they're not the authority. That's what I meant by you can have faith in your heart and doubt in your head and still get good results. So that's what happened. And that was back in around, gosh, April or so of this year. Here's 6 months later and I hadn't got one symptom of it anymore. Praise God. I mean, I can move my fingers all I want to. I can jump up and down. Amen. I've been going out jogging and walking, you know, over the last several weeks, you know. So I've gotten back into getting some exercise because while I was experiencing this, and I really think it was arthritis trying to attach itself to me. You know, that's what I really believe. And so anyway, testimonies, they encourage people and give them some, you know, lift their hopes up some because, you know, God wants us to walk in health. He is the Lord, our healer. He never says no. Jesus never said no. Jesus said, well, never did say, well, God's trying to teach you something, my child. Just keep that a while longer. You don't see, if it was God doing that, you'd see it in the Bible somewhere. Somebody said one time, well, the devil speaks with tongues, and that's what speaking in tongues is, the devil mocking God. And I said, well, that's interesting. I kind of got off into it for a little while, and I said, wait a minute. I don't see that in Scripture anywhere. I don't see the Scripture ever in the Scripture the devil ever imitating tongues. Right. So if he didn't do it in the Scripture, why would he do it now? So anyhow, that's about all I have right there. I just wanted to share that. Let's give the Lord a praise, could we? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen.